You're listening to The Pulse, and now onto that light bulb going on in our heads. Drexel University psychology professor John Cunyos explores that phenomenon in his new book, The Eureka Factor: Aha Moments, Creative Insight, and the Brain, and he joins us now to talk about it. John, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, we trace the original Eureka moment back to Archimedes, who is said to have shouted the word as he jumped from his tub to announce his latest discovery. What are some other really famous Eureka moments?
Well, probably the second most famous one is that of Isaac Newton, who, according to legend, was sitting under an apple tree. An apple fell and hit him in the head, and he suddenly had the idea for a theory of gravity. The part about the apple hitting him in the head is apparently not true. What Isaac Newton himself said, that he was walking in the garden and he saw an apple fall and he had the idea for the theory of gravity. And that, I'd say that's probably the second most famous one.
You describe in the book an aha moment that led to the creation of WALL-E. Talk about that.
Yes, Andrew Stanton, who's responsible for so many of the Pixar hits. He was working on making the movie WALL-E, and he couldn't think of how WALL-E's face should look. And he was really struggling with this idea. And he figured he'd take a break, and he went to a baseball game, and he didn't have a very good seat. And he asked the person next to him to borrow their binoculars. And the person handed the binoculars the wrong way. And when he held the binoculars up with the wrong side towards him, he had this sudden insight that that would be the face of WALL-E. He said the idea just dropped into his lap that WALL-E would be, quote, a binocular on a stick.
And we often describe these moments like things clicking into place or a light bulb going off. It almost seems like we should see a little explosion in our brain at that moment.
Well, in fact, at that moment, our EEG studies, electroencephalogram studies, show there is a burst of activity, of high-frequency electrical activity in the brain at that moment when the idea pops into awareness. And we, in our studies, we've shown this occurs in an area of the right hemisphere, the right temporal lobe, just above the right ear. So yes, there is sort of a little explosion of activity.
How have we as humans deconstructed the aha moment or tried to perhaps break it down to its scientific components?
Only very recently have scientists started looking at these aha moments. Psychologists call them insights, and tried to understand where they come from. About 100 years ago, the German Gestalt psychologist looked at insight and made an analogy to perception. You can look at an object and you can see it in a particular way, but with a shift of attention, you can see it as something else. So you look at a brick and you could see that brick as a building block for a house. But if you shift your attention and think of it in a different way, you can think of it as a doorstop, as a nutcracker, as almost anything, as a weapon. Similarly, problems, when you encounter a problem, you might find it insoluble. And then something snaps, something clicks, and you realize that you're looking at the problem all wrong. And when you see it in the right way, when you see it in a new light, then the solution seems simple. And it was at that point that scientists started constructing puzzles and problems that people could only solve with these shifts of attention that lead to sudden insights, these aha moments.
Can we make these aha moments happen in our brain? We're often told, you know, if you're stuck with a problem, go for a walk, do something else.
Well, research has shown that there are a number of factors that can make it more likely for you to have an insight. One is to be in a positive mood. When a person's in a positive mood, brain imaging studies show that an area in the middle of the front of the brain called the anterior cingulate lights up, and that allows you to expand the scope of your thought. It allows you to consider remote possibilities, sort of long shot ideas, the stuff of creativity, the stuff of sudden insights. But when you're in a slightly negative mood, say you're a little bit anxious, that's like putting on mental blinders. You focus on the here and now. You focus on one or two obvious possibilities, and you're good at analytical thinking, but not so good at creative thought. So one thing is positive mood. Another thing is sleep. Lots and lots of sleep. Sleep is a very powerful inducer of insights. It actually restructures your knowledge to bring out details and hidden relationships, which are the stuff of insight.
Is there any kind of Eureka brain? Are there people who just are more prone to having these great insights than others?
We like to think of creativity and creative insight as being something like a person's weight. So, for example, your weight has a set point that's determined by genetics, that, you know, all things being equal, your weight will gravitate towards a certain value. But you can do things to raise or lower that set point. Creativity is probably something like that. I think we're genetically set to have a particular cognitive style. Some people are more creative, some people are more analytic. But that doesn't mean that the environment and things you do can't slide you around on that scale one way or the other.
John, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for inviting me.